You know, it's traditional on God's feast days that we turn to Deuteronomy 16 to read about what God says about holy day offerings. If you've been in the church very long, you've heard the scripture read over and over. Perhaps 200 times or more, depending on your time in the church. I guess if you've been in the church 40 years and you'll hear it 7 times a year, that's a pretty good amount of time. Now, if you're Mr. Pippi, you've heard about 1,000 or so. But, no, I'm just kidding. But maybe after hearing it so many times, we kind of take it for granted during a offering, what this scripture really means. So let's read it. I'll be reading out of the New King James Version. 3 times in a year, this is Deuteronomy 16:16. 3 times in a year, all your males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place which he chooses, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, at the Feast of Weeks, and at the Feast of Tabernacles. And they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord your God which he has given you. Now, if you look at the phrase, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed, the word empty-handed is translated from the Hebrew word rakon, which is figurative for ineffectually or undeservedly, and is translated elsewhere without cause, in vain, or void. In other words, we appear before God on this holy day for a reason. Notice that we are commanded to do 2 things during this holy day. First, we are commanded to appear before God. Second, we are commanded to give. Consider the phrase, give as he is able. Darby translates this as in his power to give. It means literally a gift of the hand. This means that an offering is an act performed by the hand. The action of giving an offering is a form of good works. Next, let's take a look at the phrase according to the blessing. The Hebrew word here for blessing means benediction. God pronounces his blessing on us through his word, and that blessing brings upon us prosperity. It is on this prosperity that we base the amount of our offerings each holy day season. But have you really ever considered what it means to be blessed by God? Just what is a blessing anyway? In the book United States and British Commonwealth in Prophecy, that book showed us through the Bible that the tribe of Joseph, the true nation of Israel, the United States and the British Commonwealth are a very, very blessed nation. We've learned that through the promises made to Abraham, great national blessings have been bestowed upon our countries. Consider those of us living in America or United Kingdom. No other nations have ever been blessed as to the degree of Joseph. No one in history. It is unparalleled. We enjoy freedoms that few people have ever tasted. The poorest of us live as kings compared to the rest of the world. We enjoy abundance of food, housing, education, entertainment, all unparalleled in human history. Physical blessings are easy to take for granted. As children, how many of us whined about not having this or that toy, or I need a video game, or I need something new to entertain me. How many of us were then reminded by loving mothers and fathers to count our blessings? Even as adults, we must sometimes be reminded to count our blessings. Some blessings are obvious. A loving husband or wife, healthy children, a good job, a nice house, abundance of food. But sometimes we need to consider blessings that are not so obvious. It may take a little change in attitude or a different point of view to discover these blessings. There's a story about a father who was trying to teach his young son about how poor people can be. He decided to take his son on a trip to the country. They drove out into the country and spent a day and a night in a farm of a very poor family. They drove back to the city the next day. The father asked his son, "How did you like your trip?" And the boy replied, "It was great." The father continued, "Do you see how poor people can be?" The son thought a bit and said, "Well, we have one dog in our house. They had four dogs. We have an 8-foot swimming pool. They have a creek that I couldn't find the end of. We have fancy garden lights. They have the stars. Our front porch reaches into our yard. Their front porch reaches to the horizon." The boy's father didn't know quite what to say. And a little later, the boy looked at his father and said, "Thanks, Dad, for showing me just how poor we are." What about the spiritual blessings? Sometimes they are taken for granted more than the physical blessings. What about the blessing of God's Holy Spirit? How about the blessing of being in God's church, being God's first fruits? How about the blessing of the truth of God, which was revealed to us by Jesus Christ through the end-time apostle Herbert Armstrong? What a blessing these are. While many in the world grapple with the tragic events of this end time, the terror attack, the maiming, the killing, the political craziness that's out there, the world trying to make meaning of these things, trying to get some glimmer of hope and understanding to these events. But only the Church of God has the unique knowledge to put today's world into perspective. How do you put a price on that? How do you put a price on spiritual blessings? You can't. Nonetheless, we're commanded to give according to our blessing. When it comes to giving an offering, it is more important how than how much. This is clearly shown by Christ in Mark 12:41. Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how people put money into the treasury, and many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw 2 mites, which is 2 quadrants. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they have all put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all she had, her whole livelihood." The note in the margin states that a mite is a very small copper coin worth less than a penny. This is far less than all the rich people gave. It was easy for the rich to give because it didn't hurt. They wouldn't miss the money anyway. This poor woman gave all she had, her entire living. So think about it. Does God really need the money? Does the great God of the entire universe need that check that you've inserted into your offering envelope? Is he so bad off that he must beg money from his very own creation? Obviously, these are absurd thoughts. However, think about what God is doing. He's seeking to build character in you through the act of the attitude of giving. So as we give today, brethren, let us consider these blessings. Knowing the magnitude by which God has blessed us, we can never outgive him, and we can never give what our blessings are truly worth. So we'll collect the offering now. The offertory music will be Psalm 121, "I Lift My Eyes to the Hills," sung by Mrs. Paula Henderson.